Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. For those of you that are familiar with me, my name is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be one of your co-hosts. I am a Messianic pastor and rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship, not only with our Heavenly Father, but also with Yeshua. For most of us on this broadcast that hear this, Yeshua should be, and the goal is for him to be our husband. Now, at this time, I am honored to introduce to you the other half of the co-host team that we have here, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Hello, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say that it is truly a blessing to be able to share the word of God, y'all. This is our 41st show, and we're going to continue to answer the question about the articles in the tabernacle and how we can relate them to our worship with Yah now and as well as meeting Him. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Thank you very much. And I'll go ahead and start us off with prayer. And then after that, just pass it to you for a synopsis of how far we've gone before we launch into a little bit more detail of how to get the answer to that particular question. Well, Father, right now, thank you. I thank you for another day that you have placed within me your spirit and allowed my soul to intermingle with your spirit in my physical body. Father, I pray that you help me and help us to never take that for granted, to never take our spiritual, mental, and physical health for granted. Help us to walk so circumspect before you, Father, so consciously in our outer court, in that area where we're responsible. Father, help us, help me, so that I may fulfill all that is required of me, the obligations that you have set forth by your word in my inner man for me to fulfill the fullness of who you've called me to be. Father, I submit this broadcast to you. I submit the words that we are going to say and reflect upon. Father, the way your spirit, who is the teacher, desires to go with this broadcast, Father, we just submit to that right now. We just allow you to have your way so that each and every individual who desires to hear from you will hear by way of your spirit, and that the words that are spoken be not my words but your words, be not Evangelist Tanita's words but your words, so that you may get all the glory and all the praise. Right now is our desire. I ask forgiveness, and we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. Yes. And we choose, Father, by way of your Spirit, to forgive those who have sinned and caused iniquity and transgression against us and our family. Yes. We choose not to hold it to their charge so that we may be forgiven of our transgressions. In Yahushua's name I pray, amen and amen. Well, Evangelist Tanita, if you could give us kind of a synopsis of what we talked about last week so that we can begin to pick it up from there and then really begin to launch into what the Holy Spirit wants us to begin to speak about and discuss and get us in the right frame of mind so that we can engage with Him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so the synopsis from last week is that you were letting us know that worship is not just music and singing. There's more to it. It's every aspect of what we do. You let us know that it's a broad statement, and you had us to read Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7. You said mercy is the end road, the final destination. And so what you were showing us is to chart our way on how to get there. And so you also told us that what is our goal? And it's to have that same relationship with the Heavenly Father and Yahushua, Jesus, like Adam and Eve did in the garden during the cool of the day. One of the main things that you wanted us to understand is that worship is plural and it takes two. And you talk about the two parts of the tabernacle, the outer court and the inner court. The outer court is where we do our part, where we begin to deal with our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. And the inner court is where Yah begins to help us deal and bring himself into with us. You talked about the brazen altar, and you referred to Psalms 100, verses 1 through 4, how we enter his presence with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You also wanted us to understand that the first part is our salvation with Yahushua, and that part is instant, but we have a continual part that we have to do daily in our relationship. Righteousness is a daily walk. And you concluded with 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and you were really talking about the verse 7, about ask what you shall give, and it's about how we are seeking wholeness. And as we're beginning to deal with our sins, Yah will show up in our worship with him. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Brother Jim.
Amen. Amen. And let's pick it up from that. The word wholeness there. One of the scriptures that came to my mind as soon as I heard that I feel that the Holy Spirit wants us to begin to help to set a foundational understanding in the New Testament is, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Let's check that. It's either 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, but it just came into my spirit, awakened my spirit pertaining to wholeness. And when Paul was talking to the church there in Thessalonica, he was helping them to understand the importance of wholeness. And so I'm going to let you read that if you would, please.
Okay. Yes, you're correct. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And when we begin to understand about that word sanctification, that worship, the worship that we give unto Yah is a part of our sanctification process. Oftentimes we don't look at it and see it that way. Oftentimes we look at worship as us giving, you know, a song or pouring our heart out to the Lord, and it's not that it's not those things, because it is. But one of the biblical understandings that we need to make sure that we understand is that it causes a sanctification to manifest and to happen. Going back to what we had talked about in previous broadcasts pertaining to Adam and Eve and when they had sin, Yah was there knowing. He understood and already knew that they had sinned. But yet he wanted that relationship, because remember we said worship is a plurality. It is not a one individual doing something and then therefore checking the block and saying, okay, I worshiped you. But it's bringing together an intimate relationship, like what happened in the garden. Because in the garden, in the cool of the evening, or the cool of the day, as it says, this is where the intimacy between Adam and Yah was enriched. That was worship. With that particular worship, the sin that caused Adam to flee was not the intention of Yah for him to do. Even though he was in a state where sin was upon him, Yah was expecting and desiring, like a father with his children, for Adam to realize his inadequacy, realize what he had done, and then run to his parent, to run to his father, because he knew that his father could fix it, which is exactly what his father did. Even though his father had to go find Adam, his father temporarily, through the sacrifice of animal, fixed it so that through that, Adam could begin to learn and understand the importance of going to Yah regardless of the state that you find yourself in. So with Paul, he's talking about sanctification. He's talking about worship. Remember, we talked about a broad spectrum of the word and understanding of worship. The outer court we talked about, and I'm just going to touch on a few things before we go to another scripture. But we talked about the fact that the outer court is our responsibility, whereas the inner court is Yah's responsibility. Well, I want to add a little bit more to that definition, and then we'll go to another scripture to really begin to break down some points that I know in my spirit that the Father wants us to understand as we perfect. Because this question is going to help all of us to begin to understand how to perfect our worship. The outer court, of course, we said was our responsibility. And then, of course, we went and said that the inner court was Yah's responsibility. Now, to add to those two definitions, the outer court is our responsibility to deal with what we consciously know. Okay? In other words, the outer court is designed for us to consciously deal with the areas that we need to get right with God. Now, that is still worship. We're still talking about worship. And in that, we understand that if we do this properly, then the inner court becomes something that Yah does. And we'll get the, I want to go into that definition. And it says, it's the responsibility of Yah to deal with what we subconsciously or inner consciously don't know. Because there's more about us, there's more about me that I don't know than what I consciously do know. And that which I, inner conscious, the subconscious that I don't know, I must learn how to trust God for it. That's what worship does. Worship begins to teach me, instruct me on how to trust Him for those things that are inside of me. When we begin to worship, and I'm talking about the conscious now, then we begin to get to a place where we understand that there's so much about me that I don't know. Because only what comes to my mind is what I'm able to give. It's what I'm able to express or to speak to God about. And then there comes that time or that place when there's so much more inside of me that wants to express His adoration and His glory, but I'm limited to this finite body in how consciously I can do that. Now, we did discuss, and I want to go back to the scripture that we had talked about in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. And I want to tie a couple of passages of scripture together. This I want to tie together with 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 5. Because they give not conflicting stories about the outer court and about the brazen altar and about our responsibility and what we are to give unto Yah. Because remember, this brazen altar represents us consciously confessing and asking for restitution for our sins, for the things that we consciously know. Now, this is still worship, but it's the things that we consciously know that we're dealing with, that we're exposing, that we're asking Yah in the name of Yeshua to cleanse, to purify, to sanctify. Okay? So we're going to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, and then I'm going to tie another passage of Scripture, which I've already shared with you, which is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 5, so that you can begin to see the dynamics of what we consciously are responsible for. And that as we consciously begin to do things, begin to express, begin to worship, begin to thank Him for the things that we are consciously aware of, that He has and is delivering us from, it begins to increase exponentially beyond our conscious understanding. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7.
Yes. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7, and I'm reading the New King James Version. Mm-hmm. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?"
Okay, and give me verse 6. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Give me verse 6.
That's okay. And Solomon went up there to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Do you want me to read verse 7 again?
No. That's fine. It was verse 6, actually. But verse 7 is good. Now, with what Solomon did, there was a conscious count of exactly how many burnt offerings or sin offerings were placed upon the altar, the brazen altar. Now, if you would, Evangelist Tanita, if you'd go to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 5. And I want to tie these two together because I want you to understand that as we're worshiping, as we're getting before Him, and we begin to approach Him with what we consciously understand, not only the sin that so easily would try to beset us, but the redemption from the sins that He's redeemed us from in the past. Okay? That's where that Psalms 100, 1 through 4 come in, as far as enter his gates with thanksgiving and with His courts with praise. Why? Because He had forgiven us of our sins.
Amen.
That's where the joy is. And that joy is something that we have to protect.
Amen.
If we begin to feel that our joy tank is beginning to dissipate or empty, it's only because we have stopped remembering or memorializing where He's brought us from.
Mm-hmm.
We've allowed the adversary to cause us to forget where we have come from. That is a key to getting the GPS correct and not getting off course and going into a detour. And that's even in worship, especially in worship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 5.
1 Kings chapter 8, verse 5, New King James Version. Also, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude.
So wait a minute now. We know in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6, we know the exact number that Solomon, King Solomon, unto the Lord. But here in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 5, it says that King Solomon and the children of Israel gave offerings to the point to where it could not be numbered or counted. How does that interrelate with worship? When you and I begin to worship Him consciously, there's a place that we must go if we expect to go into the inner court. There's a place that we must attain. That place is a place of total saturation of who God is and what He's done and why He deserves praise from me. Once I begin to go into that, the Holy Spirit will come and begin to ignite areas in the outer court now. Because once the sacrifices are being placed on the altar, it is the fire from heaven or the Holy Spirit that ignites that brazen altar to begin to consume and to burn the sacrifice. So as I'm waiting to go to the lever, I need to get lost in him and why he deserves this. I need to get lost in how great he is. And the Holy Spirit will come alongside me and begin to take and fuel that fire to the point to where I'm not remembering that I gave this, or I, in this case, that I gave 1,000 burnt offerings on the brazen altar. Because 1 Kings says that they all came and they continue to give. They're giving of themselves. Because each aspect of that sacrifice is something pertaining to self and my inadequacies versus his greatness. So there's an exchange. There's a spiritual exchange through worship in the outer court where I'm exchanging my inadequacies. It's almost like communion. I'm exchanging my inadequacies for his greatness. I'm making a covenant with him. And I'm allowing the greater individual in this covenant to begin to impart to me, to feel within me the areas that are inadequate and that are empty and void of him. But he can't do that. When I say he can't, he won't, because of his spiritual understanding of how things should be. His spiritual laws that have been set forth is that I must come first. I must give of myself first. I must understand that my sin is separating me from him. And that by releasing and giving that sin to him through worship, as I'm worshiping now, he begins the sanctification process that was also talked about and spoken by Paul or Rabbi Shaul to the congregation in Thessalonica. This is an extremely important step. Now keep in mind, this particular worship mirror images the Levitical priest going in during the Day of Atonement. Because my worship and what we're referring to and what we're talking about here is an individual time with him. When we went back and we began to talk about Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, when you read verses 1 through 4, it is very apparent that Yah is very specific with Moses. And he says, you come by yourself.
Amen.
So that means there's no robe of the ephod on. There's no ephod with the stones. There's no robe of the ephod that has the bells and the pomegranates.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a linen garment. You come separate from all of that, separate from everyone else, and you begin to enter in with me. Now, remember, the outer court is not where he is going to begin to start the intimacy. Even though he spoke and appeared at night to Solomon and asked him what he wanted, don't ever, we should never, ever think that this is the epitome of worship. If I ask you, what do you want? and you say anything else but me. And mean, because you got to say what you mean and mean what you say. So don't say, I want you, God, when no, I want a healing, or I want deliverance, or I want this, or I want that, or I want. When you begin to go there, when you ask for that, then what you have said is, I am disqualifying myself in my worship from entering into the Holy of Holies. Evangelist Anita, what that is saying is, I choose to wear the robe of the ephod. I choose the bell and the pomegranate, which are the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I choose something that will bless me and bless others. When he appears, even Solomon, in his asking for wisdom, still didn't ask for a relationship. This is important. He never asked for an intimate relationship with Yah. That was the difference between him and his father. His father said, I just want to be the doorkeeper in your house, so that I can be with you. Solomon said, I want to have the wisdom that you have to deal with your people. In other words, I want the robe of the ephod. Where David said in his worship, I want you. I want wholeness. Which is you. This is one of the main reasons why, even in the external aspect of the glory of Yah during Solomon's reign, manifesting in the manner in which it manifests, that caused so many individuals to come and to learn about this wisdom that he has from Yah, that he himself almost lost his salvation. Whereas David went through a lot of the same things, but David, through his life, and we've read that scripture already before, pertaining to how and why was David considered a man after God's own heart when you look at all of the things that he'd done. Because through his life, he learned what it was all about. And it was about being with Yah. It was about the relationship. And if you look at all of the, when you look at all the Psalms of his, which were his worship, it's focused primarily on a relationship and an intimacy with Yah.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna go into more detail about breaking down this outer court and then go into the inner court. But I want to make sure that as I get ready to pass it to Evangelist Anita, and she gives you more information about how to find out things about us and get more information if you so desire. I want you to understand that Solomon, even in the wisdom that God has given, that wisdom did not keep him, because it wasn't designed to keep him. It was designed, based upon what he asked, to bless the people of Yah as well as himself. In our worship, we want to be able to enter completely into the Holy of Holies. In order to do that, it has to be about him and not about me. It has to be about my intimacy with him being reached to the whole level. And with that, I'll pass it to Evangelist Anita.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. Amen. The show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email your questions to tjonsbts@gmail.com. The ministry is Bethlehem Ministries, and we have two websites in which you can contact us or research. It is www.bethashem.org, and our Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, you can email us at bethashem@yahoo.com for directions. We also, for those that may be interested in a further in-depth study, we have Zuhl College. And if you're interested in truly understanding the Hebraic, a more Hebraic understanding, if you would email us at office@bethlehem.org. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Well, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, thank you for explaining more of you to us and searching our hearts to make sure there's nothing in us that would hinder us from reaching through worship the Holy of Holies. Thank you, Father, for another broadcast where your spirit is taking hold of really giving us the intricacies of what it's all about. We submit this show to you. We submit to you an opportunity for us to truly be all that you've called us to be. Help us, Father. Reveal to us areas in ourselves where we're still caught up in the aspects of the bells and the pomegranates and not caught up in the trueness and understanding of worship for wholeness, for relationship with you, as opposed to what you can give to us, knowing that if we seek the greater, you will not hinder us from receiving the lesser. We thank you, Father. We bless each and every person on this broadcast. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you begin to bring to our remembrance all these things so that as we begin to apply it in our lives, that you begin to awaken us and to enrich us with what truly was happening in the garden before the fall. In Yeshua's name, shalom, shalom.